In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Morning, everyone. There's a moment in today's gospel, which I call the what moment, meaning like what? That happened today, like, that really happened? And I want to read the verse to you, and you tell me if you have the same reaction. What? This is the devil speaking to Jesus. All these things I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me. The devil is saying to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. I know we know this gospel very well. This is Temptation Sunday, and there's three temptations of Christ in the gospel. But truly, when I was reading it again, I'm like, sometimes we read it fast, okay. But the devil said to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. So I kept reading it this week, and I'm like, actually I started getting upset. I was like, are you crazy? How can you ask Jesus to worship you? And I was, you know, I had the reaction of like, come on, man, like that's ridiculous. And then I tried to take it personally. Let me look at it for me. So what does it have to do with me? Like, I was upset with this conversation between the devil and Jesus and this temptation that Jesus had. I was really upset, but then I started taking it more personally. I said, what does that have to do with me? And I started realizing that maybe I'm the one being offered something. And maybe I'm the one that's worshiping something that I shouldn't. You know, like, it's easy for us to see this temptation, and it's Temptation Sunday, and the devil said this to Jesus, and Jesus reacted this way, and but truly, like, this Temptation Sunday, we gotta take it seriously, because we can kind of just present our weaknesses before God and our temptations. And am I doing something that kind of bows down before the evil one, before the devil himself? And that's kind of where I want to go with this, is like, what are we doing in this situation when the devil tells us to bow down and worship something? Here's the thing, the devil doesn't say worship me. The devil doesn't say that. He says, worship this thing. All of us have something that we put all of our efforts in, and the devil doesn't care for us to worship really him. And that's why I was really upset today in the gospel. It's like, why? But he wants us to worship something that's not God. That's all the devil wants to do. His goal is for us to bow down and to focus on something else that has nothing to do with God. So I think that we have to examine this today. So, what did Jesus respond? Let's open up our Bibles to Matthew 4. Now, the crazy talk was the devil saying, worship me. Now, the response is really relevant to us. So the devil's like, hey, I'll give you the whole world. But you know what? God created the whole world. How can the devil offer Jesus the whole world? God created the whole world. That's what's kind of ridiculous about this. But let's look at Jesus' response. Matthew 4:10. Matthew 4:10 is the response of Jesus to this ridiculous request by Satan. Jesus says to him, after the devil wants him to worship, Matthew 4:10 says this, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. That's the response to temptation. What's the response to temptation? Based on that verse. The response is, look at it again. Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. What's the response to temptation? There's kind of two things in there. What do you see? What do you see in that verse? Away with you, but what is the response? Yeah, we want Satan, away with you. But what is the response that we should do now, based on this verse? One God. And I heard something over here. Worship. Yeah, so it is about God. The thing is, we're going to get temptation. You know what? We're going to be tempted to worship something. And by the way, sorry guys, all of us worship something. That's not God. And it's true. And I don't mean like we don't bow down to it, but we definitely put energy into it. Let's just be honest for a second. All of us have our energy in an area. And the response to that is this. God says, away with you, Satan, like we heard. But you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. You know what that's saying? Worship him only. It's him only. But I want to do this. Is this okay if I do these things here? Yeah, it's okay.
But don't worship them.
But I want to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I want to hang out with my friends and do this. And I want to. You can do whatever you want.
But here, it's clear. In your temptation, the response to our temptation, when the devil tempts you, the response is, I worship him only. You know why that's important? Because we get sucked in to so many things that make us fall. So our response is, oh no, away from you. I worship him only. I worship him only. He's the only one I worship. And I think that's the response we want to talk about today. Now, I'm not here to teach you about worship. I'm not here to teach you about worship. But the answer is worship. When you're falling into sin, the answer is worship. God alone. But how, Abuna? Because I'm falling in this sin. What is worship? That's what I want to talk to you about today. Worship is the answer of Christ today for temptation. So let's look at it a little bit more carefully. By the way, just so we're on the same page, worship is the goal of Christian life. It's the goal that we worship Him only. That our energy is to worship Him. You know the center of the Orthodox Church is what? It's the liturgy. Why? Because the center of our church is worship. The center of everything we do in Christian life, all of us here, the center and the goal is to worship Him. You know the center of mission? You know what the goal of mission work is? For everyone else to do what? To go on the plane. For everyone else to worship Him. You guys get it? So the center of your life is worship. So we got to understand how to do it right. We got to understand what we're doing. So it's the goal of everything we do. So I ask you this question. This is the interactive piece of today. Sometimes I need you to interact with me. In your definition, what is worship? I'm going to give you what the Bible says today. But what's your definition? If I say worship God, what does that mean to you? Who can give me an answer to that? Worship. And by the way, there's no wrong answer. I'm not going to say you're wrong. So you can feel comfortable. Just say whatever you want. Just don't say chocolate chip cookies or something like that. Just say something that's reasonable and we'll be okay. Worship. What's worship? Say it as loud as I can. I'm really having a hard time hearing. Worship.
Obey God.
Obey God.
Obey God. Pray.
Okay. Love. I want to hold on to that one. That's my first point. You know what worship is? We tell God, I love you. That's it. We tell God, let's say it together, I love you. Can we say it together? I love you.
Isn't that nice? So when you're singing a song, you know what you're singing about?
Sometimes our goal is the song or the hymn. No. The hymn is saying, in other words, in summary, we honor you, we love you, we praise you. It's all about you. Simply put, worship is a love song. I know it sounds kind of cheesy, but it's true. Jesus, I love you. And I want you, when you're in the church singing a hymn, I hate that we're robots. Like, and we're just singing like, holy. Like, show some love. It's a love song. Like, worship is love. And I love that. Thank you for saying that. That's really, worship is a love song. So let's, I don't want you dancing. If you want to dance, we can. We do that in Zambia. We dance and sing. But if you want to just at least have some emotion to say, and if you have the internal emotion, you're like me. I'm more internally emotional. I just be more external. But at least, worship. You know why I'm saying this? Because it's the answer to our temptation. I wouldn't be sharing this with you, but you know, the thing that we worship is what we sin in. The thing that we focus our energy in makes us fall. So we got to say, no, I worship you alone. Jesus said today to Satan, away with you, worship God alone. Worship Him alone. And the first part of worship is, hey, I love you, Lord. I love you. Learn the hymns of the church, but remember the hymns and the words we say in the liturgy. At the end, say, I love you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. And those are the things that help us to truly worship. Second thing I want to say about worship is this. And I said this to you before. Worship actually means worth-ship. Worth. It's a value. Whatever you put the most value in your life, that's what you worship. It's worth. So ask yourself the question. And I always ask myself, what do I value the most? Some people, by the way, say, my family is number one. I like that. But that's the wrong, that's not according to the gospel. Your family is number one after somebody else. So if someone says, I take care of my family, take care of my family, take care of my family, that's very honorable. But if your family is before him, it's not honorable.
You got what I'm saying? So I'm saying, your work, I invest all my time and my career. I love that about you. Very faithful. And some do that in school. Some study so hard, you get like nervous breakdowns. Do those things. But that's where your worth is? Then you've done what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to worship something else more than him. Ask yourself the question, I know what it is for me. What is it for you? If a guy loves his car so much that he's always washing it and cleaning it and like he takes, I've seen this before, take a toothbrush and clean in between the wheel thingies and he's doing that, that's fine, I love that. But if he does that with his car, he pretty much could worship the car. If that's that valuable for him, I'm not saying you can't do that, by the way. I will never tell you don't do that. But what I'm saying to you is, if you do that for your car, then how much more should we really, really value and invest in our Lord? Do those things. Nothing I'm saying. If someone is a workaholic, someone is working so hard, please don't let it take you away from worshiping him and investing in him. And sometimes we have another thing that we worship and we don't realize it. We know, I'm not going to tell you. Our phones are becoming the place where we invest. Last week I told you, that if you weren't here, I'll just remind you, the average person in the world spending time on a screen is 7 hours per day. That's worship. Let me be honest. That's where our value is. And somebody said, no, Abu, I'm reading the Bible. Okay, how many of the 7 hours are you reading the Bible? Anyways, that's another story. The point is this. The answer to temptation, Jesus was tempted today. The answer is worship him alone. No, but I want to do all these things. Do all those things you want to do. Have your dreams, but it can't take you away from worshiping him. The next thing I want to say to you is this. Worship is internal. And you're saying, well, you're telling us to sing the hymns. I want you to sing the hymns. And by the way, you know how much in the church, I love when everybody's singing in the church. Just a side note. And I get sad when only like 10% of us, and that's how many sing in the church, only 10% of us are singing. But I don't know, you know how you know? You start practicing and singing along and you'll get it. But that's not what I want to talk about today. Worship is internal. Look, open with me Matthew 15. Matthew 15 shows the way God really wants us to worship. Matthew 15 verse 8 and 9. Matthew 15, 8 and 9. Turn with me there. Look at this. So we said so far, what is worship? It's saying, I love you. What is worship? It's worship. What do I put most of my value? Number three here is internal. Matthew 15, 8 says this, and 9. These people honor me with their lips. Right? That's our worship in the church. We sing a song. But their what is far away from me? Their what? Their what? Their hearts. He's saying, I can hear you worshiping. Some people. But your heart is small. I don't want God to say that to STSA here in Leesburg. No. Our mouth says we worship him. Our heart is worshiping him. This is so important. It's not just singing a song or singing a hymn. It's inside, like we said, it's internal. It's inside saying, my heart belongs to you. My heart belongs to you. The last thing I want to say is number four. So we said, what was the first one? Worship is what? Worship is saying what? It's saying, you guys are having a hard time saying that to God. Worship is saying what? I love you, Lord. I love you. Right? So nice, right? That's what we're saying. When we're worshiping, that's it. Number two, worship is what? Worship is, what's the definition? Worship. I know it's hard to say. Worship is what? Worship. Not worthless, but worth. Worth. It's what we value. Whatever you value the most, whatever you invest in the most, and worship is internal. The last thing is, worship must lead to action. What does that mean? Do you know something that you don't realize, and maybe you do realize? Worship in the church is not the only place we worship. Worship is how I live my life outside the church. Isn't that crazy? Like, the way you live your life outside the church is a worship. It's not just in the church. Okay, you with me on that? It leads to actions. So if I'm here praying and singing and making the sign of the cross and taking communion and repenting, and then I go outside there and do something different, worship, it has to lead to action. There's a story fictional story, so it's not a real story, but it is a real story, and it's not a real story, okay? So, Satan was standing outside the church on the sidewalk. Are you with me so far? The devil was standing outside the church on a sidewalk. Let's just try to envision, he's out here, standing out here, okay? And inside, people are singing and praying and listening to a sermon like right now, and the devil's outside on the sidewalk. Someone passed by Satan and said to him, they had a conversation with the devil, he said, "Are you upset with everybody worshiping inside the church?" And Satan was like this, and the guy said it again because the devil didn't want to respond. He said, "Are you upset that everybody's in there worshiping Jesus and singing songs and listening to sermons?" The devil turned to that guy and said, "No, I'm happy on Sunday they're worshiping. Because I know I got them Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I'm just out here just inspecting, enjoying. I'm happy they're worshiping Jesus. Because I know that Jesus can have this 1 hour, 2 hours. I got them the rest of the week." And what I want to say to you is this. And that fictional story is kind of not fictional, is it? Because our heart is truly, you guys, by the way, you guys are into the church and worship and come for communion. But outside, as soon as our conversations start, as soon as we get home, things change, don't they? Sometimes we get to work, things change, don't they? Sometimes we get to school, maybe I'm acting a little bit different. No, we worship God every single day. And maybe you said, "Okay, but I pray every morning." Good, you worship in the morning, and throughout the day, your actions should continue to worship. So yes, worship is telling God, I love you. When we say this in the liturgy, the cherubim worship you, and the seraphim glorify you, proclaiming and saying what? What's the next part? Holy, holy, holy. What's the rest? Lord of hosts. The last part. Heaven and earth are full of what? Your holy glory. You know what that's saying? We're going to sing that. And what we're saying is, God, you are holy, you are amazing, your presence is in heaven and it's on this earth. You're everywhere, you're everywhere, you're for me. I love you, Lord. I love that you're here on this earth, and I love that you're there, and you're holy and you're amazing. That's the translation of the hymn. So when you sing it, you should know that we're asking God to be with us in heaven and earth. When we leave Monday, Friday, and Saturday out there, God, your glory, your presence, glorious, his presence is everywhere. So when we say that liturgy today, let's take on a new meaning. There's another hymn we say, "Amen, amen, amen. Your death, O Lord, we what? We proclaim. Your holy resurrection, ascension, we what? Confess." You guys with me or not? That's why we got to work on the hymns a little bit, guys. "We praise you, we bless you, we thank you, O Lord, and we entreat you." You know what it's saying here? What do we do out there? We proclaim and we confess. We never stop telling God how amazing he is out there. That's the hymns of the church. Again, when the deacon says, "Worship God in fear and trembling," what does the congregation bow down and say? We praise you, we bless you, we serve you, and we worship you. We worship you. Here and there. In your home, when no one's looking, we worship you there. At work, worship you there. You alone. Devil acting crazy today. Devil acting crazy. Devil's acting crazy. Saying what? Worship him? Worship the devil? That's crazy talk. But guess what? He wins sometimes out there. Let's make it really crazy. We're not falling for that again. We worship him alone. We love you, Jesus. And Temptation Sunday, the answer is, "Away with you, Satan. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Worship him alone. Enjoy the worship today. Let it be from your heart, please. Let it not just be in liturgy. Let it continue after liturgy. Let's enjoy this worship we're going to do right now. And let's continue onward into our lives. Glory be to God forever. Amen.